Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
Oh boy, hit a little turbulence here into entry. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's all right. We're all good. We landed softly, though. A little bit bumpy, but we're here. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. A little sleepy, but ready to get after it because I have mentioned this before, Chris. There's truly not much that offends me in this world. There should be more, but it doesn't. I try to be a little more even-keeled, believe it or not. But
that's not really an accurate statement, but I'll go with it.
No, that truly offends me. Like, I can be a crank about most stuff, you know that, but that truly, truly offends me. I feel like I can count the things on one hand and actually have fingers left over. Weak handshakes, mistreating animals, people that prefer fluff over jelly with peanut butter. Like, those things truly offend me. There's a new one I added this week, though, because I guess I'm running out of fingers. I have one left. And it's really shot right to the top of the list, and that's Peyton Manning stands. The obsessive will yell until they're red in the face, want to tell you he was the best quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning defenders. The Peyton Manning stands, they bother me. They really do. They offend me. And the reason that I bring this up, and a guy that's now been retired for a few years, is because tomorrow night, Gillette Stadium, we finally get Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers in Foxborough, something that obviously should have happened back in 2010, but didn't, due to an injury to Rodgers, which is something that people certainly hold against him, and we'll get to that. And we only got once thus far, back in 2014 in Green Bay, one of the more exciting games of that Super Bowl year. So with these two greats going head-to-head tomorrow, well, this has obviously brought up the who's the greatest of this generation talk. Felger and Maz even asked you yesterday.
Yeah.
And they, like many others, they're Manning stands. They have him at number two behind Tom Brady. They, like many others, are wrong. You know it. I know it. Anyone with a working brain knows it. For me, quickly, top five, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisberger, and then, somewhat reluctantly, Peyton Manning.
Okay, that's a little low. That's a little low. But I like your top three.
Well, thank you, because this isn't about stats, and you know this.
It's not.
It's not about stats. I don't want to hear about the numbers. Use your gut. Use your gut. And with Peyton Manning, and you mentioned this yesterday, and you couldn't have been more right about it, it was all a matter of time before he made a mistake. Like this one, perhaps my favorite. And I will tell you, because I'm a sick person that enjoys this so much, because there's so much nuance in this clip. I feel like it's been forgotten at this time, because this might be one of, if not the favorite of my many Manning interceptions, untimely interceptions in the playoffs. 2012, divisional playoff game. The first playoff game for the Denver Broncos that year. Heavily favored over against this upstart Ravens team that really had no business being there. Well, after the Hail Mary to who was it on the Ravens there at that time?
Was it Torrey Smith?
Torrey Smith. Hail Mary to Torrey Smith. They force overtime, and Manning around his 30 does this.
Manning on second and six. On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted. Intercepted by Baltimore's Corey Graham.
Oh, yes.
And that is a mistake that you don't see Peyton Manning make very often.
Really?
Rolling to his right and throwing back across his body into the middle of the field. Paul Kruger.
You can stop it there, B-Rub. And really, like I said, there's so much nuance there because one of the best things about this clip, you got to really listen closely. About 6 seconds in, as the ball is coming out of Manning's hands, you can literally hear someone in the crowd go, "Oh, no!" They knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I literally made a swear, Chris. I was at a bar at the time working in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was at a bar with friends watching this game. I was waiting for this to happen. I bet someone that I was with, a coworker, $100. I go, he's going to make a bad pick here. I won that bet, obviously. Again, listen to the oh no, because everyone in the world knew it was coming. Go ahead again, B-Rub.
On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
There it is.
I actually heard someone go, no!
Oh, yeah. No, I had to edit it because after it, I'll tweet this out. You hear someone also say, "You a-hole!" Like, oh, it's the best, because again, everyone knew it was coming. This is what Peyton Manning did in the playoffs. You knew a bad pick was coming. You didn't really ever have that with Tom Brady. You don't have this with Aaron Rodgers. You want to hold the injuries against Aaron Rodgers? Fine. I guess I can get it. You want to hold his playoff record against him? This is where it goes sideways for me. He's been surrounded by a dumb coach and a bad defense. The truth of the matter is, if you watch football with any regularity, Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady, is the last guy you want to see with the ball in his hands if you're up 6 points.
Just ask the Arizona Cardinals. Remember that game, that playoff game?
Yeah.
It's his second Hail Mary of the season.
Yeah, to a bum like Jeff Janis, who? Is he working at Home Depot now? Last week, another good example. If you watched the 4 o'clock game last year that was the national game, Packers at Rams, okay, the Packers not only play to a high level, you know, for like the first time this season against good competition, because that's whatever they, you know, for whatever reason, that's what they do. Again, poorly coached team. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to have a chance to go up in this game late, kick off back to the Packers after the Rams go up. Who's a Ty Montgomery, the idiot who's now been traded to the Ravens, decides to take the ball, freelance, take the ball out of the end zone. He fumbles. Rodgers doesn't get the chance. You know, Chris, as well as I do, and anyone with a working brain that's watched Aaron Rodgers, they were going to win that game. Rodgers was going to get the ball. He was going to drive down the field, upset the Rams. Boom, game over. Rodgers does it again. That's what that guy does. Again, I don't care about the numbers. Don't care about the stats. I'm not going to hold the injuries against him. You want to? Fine. Be a baby that way. Rodgers is the second best quarterback of this generation. I don't want to hear otherwise. The Manning stuff, it's insane. F your numbers. F all the padded stats. I don't care about the regular season. That guy was a perennial playoff choker, and the 9 1-and-dones prove it. It makes me crazy that people want to put this guy ahead of Aaron Rodgers in the greatest quarterback of this generation talk.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think a lot of it, obviously, the regular season numbers and what he accomplished in his career. And, you know, I think a lot of that was Marino-esque. There's no question about it. And the guy did have great command in the regular season, you know, at the line of scrimmage. I think that the difference is you can look at the numbers. And I think so often if you didn't see somebody play, all you're left with is the numbers. But we all saw the guy play, right?
Right.
And again, phenomenal regular season quarterback, and I definitely enjoyed the Brady Manning rivalry, and I don't think there'll ever be anything that approximates that. Certainly Rodgers Brady will never get to that point. But as I said yesterday in the show, and as you've brought up here today, when you think of an athlete that you actually saw, you sort of have this visceral opinion of the guy. Like Michael Jordan, I'm like, oh my God, it doesn't matter who he's playing, he's gonna find a way to win, right? You know, Brady at the end of a game, you think Brady has the ball, he's gonna go down and score. Manning, you think in a big game, he has the ball, he's going to turn it over.
Right.
You do. And that's not a stat. Like, you're not going to see that on Pro Football Reference. And some kids that don't remember seeing Manning play that debate this 10 years from now are going to be like, what are you talking about? But to your point about you being in Atlanta and that, and I said this yesterday on Felger and Mass, Felger and I, for Super Bowl 44, I was at NBC Sports Boston watching that Saints-Colts game. So that's head-to-head with Drew Brees in a game. I'm watching that game. Brees leads him down. There's a touchdown. Manning has the ball, chance to go down and win the thing. And I said to Felge before that drive started, he's going to throw a pick. And what did he do? He threw a pick to Tracy Porter.
Oh, we're going to relive that one too, Chris.
What happened after he threw the pick? They blamed it on the receiver.
Yes, they did.
And also,
and it was Reggie Wayne, right?
It was Reggie Wayne.
Right.
And here's another thing where Manning was like, Marino, remember when he criticized his offensive line?
Time and again.
Yep.
And he'd go after his kicker. Granted, Mike Vanderjagt was an idiot,
he was quick to
throw his teammates under the bus.
Yes, he was.
Now, Brady has had those moments too, if we're being fair, 2013 being the most obvious when he's yelling at bums like Kimbrell Tompkins.
Oh, I was going to say he's 2009 with Joey Galloway.
Oh, that too.
How bleeping hard is it?
Yeah. So, look, they
or
can
it's
all,
not that bleeping hard either way.
They, you know, Brady's had his diva moments like these others too. It's just, again, use your gut. I don't care about your stats. Those guys you've mentioned, Brady, Rodgers, Michael Jordan, there's no stat for killers. They're killers. They're killers. You give them a chance. You give them an inch. They're going to kill you. Peyton Manning? this is why I miss him. I don't so much miss him for the battles, the head-to-head, and those were fun. And sometimes, look, again, being fair here, like in years like 2005, 2006 AFC Championship game, because everyone's sick, and God, I hate that game more than just about anything. You know, Manning has one-upped the Patriots. Hell, 2015 AFC Championship game, 2013 AFC Championship game. There's been bad moments here where he has gotten the better hand the upper hand rather on the Patriots and Tom Brady. It's happened. But bigger picture, it was all a matter of time before he made a tragic mistake. Like that divisional game against the Ravens. Can I hear that one more time? Again, the nuance of the, oh, no! The ball has just left his hand because people there knew, oh, it was another back-breaking pick at the worst possible moment by Peyton Manning in the playoffs.
Manning on second and six. On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted!
It's really... Because I've been there. We've all been there as sports fans, right? Like, you just, you feel years coming off your life, your soul being ripped out of
you're
you. Sick and of how many, oh, Chris, I listen to that clip probably 5-6 times a year. And this next one, too, that we're going to get coming up, the Tracy Porter pick six.
Oh, yeah, good.
Oh, it's the best. So how? Do people have short memories? Were you just wowed that much by the regular season and all the gaudy numbers by Peyton Manning? He's not better than Aaron Rodgers. You're just wrong. He was not a killer like Rodgers. It's made me crazy, some of the revisionist history this week, Chris, and that people don't want to put him behind Brady as a contemporary. Now, it's, I think, a big drop-off between Brady and Rodgers, but he's right there. How many times, with the ball in his hands, with a minute or whatever to go, and because that team's defense has been so god-awful, and they've been coached by that doofus and Mike McCarthy, that they're behind, or he's had to try to come back, and he does. Especially, has anyone in your lifetime ever been better with, like, the pinpoint Hail Mary either? I've never seen anything like it.
No, or like, basically rolling, you know, sort of the wrong way, like, and throwing. So as a right-handed quarterback rolling left, and I've never seen a right-handed quarterback roll left and throw the ball with more accuracy farther down the field than Aaron Rodgers. Like the throw to Jared Cook he had against the Cowboys.
Right.
Remember that throw?
Yep.
That's I don't know if I can think of another guy in the history of the league that I've seen that could make that throw. Now maybe some old timer will call up and say that he saw Staubach make that throw or Fran Tarkenton make that throw or, you know, somebody else make that throw. But I can't think of another guy who could make that throw.
And how many times? And fourth in a million. The guy is just He's the second best that I've ever seen. It's Brady, it's then him, Breeze, Roethlisberger, and then Manning.
Yeah,
for
see,
me.
That's a little extreme. You know, I no. can't, Big Ben, come on.
What, Roethlisberger? He's a killer. He is. Yeah. How many times have I lost money with that fat idiot? So many times. You know, granted, it's a lot of times during the regular season too. But man, he's a killer. He did look his last Super Bowl win against the Cardinals in 2010.
Yeah, I was at that game.
He's a killer.
Yeah, he was great.
He's got it. He's not what he used to be. But I always feared him more than Manning.
That,
I did.
I mean, that's interesting. But he's also the guy who will, like, you know, again, it's like poor clock management. He'll hold the ball forever and take a terrible strip sack. Like, you know, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I can't put Roethlisberger ahead of Manning. And also, Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl was probably the only quarterback performance by a winning quarterback in the Super Bowl that was worse than Manning's last Super Bowl.
Oh, I was going to say, actually,
that was terrible.
05 against the Seahawks was the worst.
That
until Manning against the Carolina Panthers. The statistic now, okay, I'm going to use it. I'm going to move the goalposts a little bit.
Okay.
You just statistically speaking, look at those two performances. Manning was worst. It was worse. All right, see, it's like some old school Manning bashing. I figured we'd start up with this because I was bothered about all the, you know, like, rank your top quarterbacks of this generation. Manning second. One more time before we go to break, B-Rob. Let's hear it again.
Second and six. On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
Oh, God. That's the best. That's the kind of pain that I live for as a sports fan at this point. That's what I mean when I talk about sports schadenfreude. Okay, I root for my teams, obviously, but that... One more time, B-Rob, please. I need it. Put it in my veins.
On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
Oh, how I missed that. God, no! You Manning stands. You make me sick. You want to join the show? Have at it. 617-779-0985. Call, don't. I really don't care. I just want to bash Peyton Manning, really, for most of this afternoon. When we come back, let's relive the best pick of all time in the playoffs, that Super Bowl pick six to Tracy Porter, right after this on Gasper Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
at the New Orleans 31, down 7.
I'm going to say this. 2 weeks ago, the Jets, you kept blitzing. It cost you. If I was the New Orleans Saints, I would not blitz him. I would put the extra guys in coverage.
Picked off. Look out. Gets past Manning, and it's Tracy Porter taking it all the way. Touchdown, New Orleans.
What was I saying? Don't blitz. Well, they sent everybody. And the Colts ran their favorite play. The outside receiver, well, he's coming under. The timing was not there. And Tracy Porter, the quickest, fastest defensive back for the New Orleans Saints. What a play.
That's another one. How do you Manning stands defend that one when everyone in the world and anyone that had watched Peyton Manning over the years pee himself in the playoffs knew that was coming? Oh, that's another one. Put it right in my veins. Oh, Super Bowl 44, the Tracy Porter pick six. Oh, man. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. We're doing some old school Peyton Manning bashing this morning because I've had it with the, tier your quarterbacks of this generation talk with Brady Rogers tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium. And those of you who still want to put Peyton Manning too, because all those stats, oh, fine, you have at it. Because what he really was that, the pick six at the worst possible moment in Super Bowl 44. Oh, boy. Oh, that one. Chris, let me just tell you, as an aside real quick, only two things I have ever rooted for, like I've rooted for, like, you know, watching the Patriots win the world championship or take that rhyme or you bum. And that Super Bowl and that pick six is one of them. The other is the kick six in the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama a few years back, five years ago, whatever it was.
Kick six, yeah.
But that, like, I knocked down like seven of my friends in my apartment when that pick six happened. They're like, why do you care this much? I'm like, how do you not care this much? Peyton Manning just did what he did at the worst possible moment. And I loved that 09 Saints team too, in their, you know, getting paid to hurt quarterbacks thing. Okay, so you want to join us, 617-779-0985. If you're one of these Manning stands, you want to defend him at number two, hey, maybe you're even dumb enough to put him ahead of Brady still. Have at it at 617-779-0985. But I'd like to have this be some old-school Manning bashing, so let's start off with one of the best. Mike and Wilburn, good morning, my friend.
Hi, I got to get my antibacterial hand soap because I feel like we're going to be dealing with lots of fecal matter when we talk about Peyton Manning here. Like, I don't know how anybody – like, people who defend Manning, I feel like they weren't alive or they weren't paying attention when he was actually playing. It's almost like the baseball, advanced metrics guys looking at some guy in the past. If you watch this guy during the playoff games, during the playoff game where his defense and Adam Vinatieri dragged him like a corpse through Baltimore when he had two picks, he had a quarterback rating under 40, and Vinatieri kicked about seven dozen field goals to win that game. Like, or when, like, you know, he's in the Super Bowl, and they've made a game plan that is basically offensive, Imodium, so he won't crap himself. So basically, we're going to hand the ball off. We have an all-time great quarterback, but we're going to hand the ball off and check down to Joe Adai and Dominic Rhodes 51 times during the game. 51 times. That's what it takes to get Peyton Manning to win. That AFC Championship game, I got into it with Jones because I was saying, you know, he wanted to bash all over David Price. David Price did what Peyton Manning never could do, which was be his regular season dominant self in the postseason. Peyton Manning was never that. Peyton Manning was never a dominant guy in the postseason. He was never that guy when it mattered. He was the guy that we saw in the Super Bowl versus the Broncos, a complete and utter passenger, a guy who led that team to seven three and outs during that game. He kept Carolina in that game.
It's true.
And you know what? You know what? He's also the guy that in the Seattle Super Bowl, when they're down a ton, is checking down to runs because he's done. He doesn't even – he capitulates. It's like France in 1940 with Peyton Manning when he gets down. It's Vichy Peyton in the second half. There's no way that he wants any part – like, seriously, Jim Sorgi, Curtis Painter, get any guy that Peyton Manning, like, ever, like, you know, played in front of, at least they would want to win in those situations. He just wants to get out of there. He doesn't want to be there anymore because the playoffs are not where Peyton Manning is the guy that compiles all these stats. And you know what? I'm going to go back to 2004 when his GM went to the competition committee and basically started the defensive
Well, you couldn't mug the receivers anymore.
Yeah, the defensive erosion of the game.
Yeah, because Bill Belichick figured out that if you want to basically crash the mainframe in Peyton Manning's head, you bump his receivers, take him off their routes, and he is a puddle. You know what? I'll give you a great example as to why I put Aaron Rodgers ahead of Peyton Manning. If you put Aaron Rodgers in the 80s or the 90s, I think he could still be a great quarterback. If you put Peyton Manning in the 80s or 90s, oh my God. Oh my God! You thought he crapped a lot. Now you're gonna need a freaking septic freaking company to come and drain the stadium every time Peyton Manning had to go out. If he had to face like the Bears in the 80s or any of those 90s teams that you see on the old NFL films or the jacked up clips, forget it. Peyton Manning is one of the great regular season players and postseason chokers of our time.
Thanks for the call, Mike. And I agree completely. And a lot of references to that 2006 season, which is something I will always be irrationally mad about in that postseason. And obviously, you know, it's because the AFC Championship game, where his second half, to his credit, was ridiculous. And it was like he turned into a completely different person, Peyton Manning. But those first couple of games, he's referencing the divisional game in Baltimore with terrible weather. And Steve McNair was the quarterback of the Ravens at the time. They only win that game because they have Adam Vinatieri as their kicker. And I think he had 6 field goals in that game.
Yeah, but the final score was 15-6, so he must have had 5 field goals.
And then the game before that, let us not forget.
He threw 3 picks.
3 interceptions, 2 to Ty Law, to a pretty iffy Kansas City Chiefs team that had Trent Green at quarterback at the time and Herm Edwards as the head coach. So you can understand why they lost. Manning was god-awful in the first round. Oh, they only won because they had a short-up defense, and Bob Sanders was healthy for the first time in his life in 06. I'll never get over that.
Well, even 12 years later.
I
mean, we can even tell, and you have to give Manning credit for the way he played in the 2006 AFC Championship game, and the record shows that he won more of those AFC Championship game matchups with Brady. I mean, that's just a fact.
It is.
It's an inconvenient one for folks around here, but it is a fact. But even in that game, that 2006 season AFC Championship game, one of the crowning moments of Peyton Manning's career, he threw that pick six to Asante Samuel.
Right.
I mean, and so even in a game like that, it's like there's still one of those moments where you're looking at it and thinking like, oh, man, that is so Peyton Manning. And look, they had the comeback. You have to give it to the guy. But I think, again, forget the numbers. The numbers are incredible. They're unbelievable. And he holds all these records, and it's great. But if you watch this guy, the feeling that we're all talking about, that, ooh, he's going to make a mistake. He's not going to win this game. He's going to cost his team the game. That's something that's difficult to quantify, but it's a big part of his career, and it sort of defines him in the postseason, that feeling. And I'm always going to remember that feeling when I talk about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and Brett Favre had it too. That was another guy that he got his ring, but you know, you knew the bad pick was going to happen. Hell, in 2009.
It happened in the NFC Championship game.
I'll put it to you another way too. Who would you be more afraid of back in the day as a Patriots fan in the postseason? Peyton Manning or the brother? Because for me, it's the latter.
Yeah, Eli.
And even though Eli has turned into complete mush, his career is done. That guy, for whatever reason, got into the postseason, and for the most part, he was a killer.
Yeah, he was a better player. He elevated his game. Or at least, you know, again, statistically, I think some of those games weren't great. But in the big moment, when he had to be great, he was great. And that was the interesting thing about Manning is that Manning was great all the time, except for in the moments when he needed to be great,
right?
Whereas Eli was, you know, he's okay, you know, but when he had to be great, he could elevate his game.
Yeah, he was like completely unconscious. And never mind even the Super Bowls. Believe me, I would like to forget them. Do you remember the NFC Championship game in San Francisco in 2011?
Yeah.
It's one of the best quarterback games I've ever seen in my life. And he took an absolute beating and kept coming back. And that team, they won that game in an upset and then unfortunately ended up beating the Patriots for a second time in Super Bowl 46. But we'll continue to bash Manning here. Obviously, I have to get to the Patriots side of things as they go into to take on the Green Bay Packers tomorrow night at home. What's going on with Gronk? I know you're writing a story for that on the Boston Globe as well. So very football heavy here. The first hour of Gasper Murray here at 98.5 of Sports Hub. We're going to get you caught up with the Hub headlines here with Sarge. Are you a Manning stan, Sarge? Where are you on Peyton Manning?
You mean Satan Manning.
Oh, all right. Yeah. See? Bits from Sarge, too.
Yep.
Going to get you caught up in the Hub headlines, let you know what's going on with the Bruins and Celtics tonight. And then back to you, and we'll talk some Gronk and Pats next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
You know, I had a great guy to watch every single day in Brett Favre, but, you know, Tommy's been at the top of his game for a long, long time. So I watched most of the snaps from the 07 season, and, you know, I've always been a big fan of his. you know, just the stuff he does on the field is phenomenal. And then to see him, as he's gotten older in his career, continue to reinvent himself year after year and play at a high level every single season, obviously winning the championships, he's a phenomenal player. But he's, you know, he's a pioneer as far as taking care of his body and rewriting the longevity books for players of his caliber. It's, you know, it's been really impressive to watch. And anytime, you know, I get a chance, whether he's on Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, I'm for sure tuning in.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. That was Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. His conference call earlier this week, talking up the other 12 on the other side, Tom Brady. And we finally get Brady Rodgers here at Gillette Stadium tomorrow night. I hope y'all are pumped for it. I know I am. I felt so ripped off in 2010 with the Matt Flynn, Dan Connolly 71-yard return game. Entertaining game, also a Sunday nighter, but Rodgers unfortunately hurt that year, and that was their Super Bowl year.
I was going to say, they went on to win the Super Bowl, and I think that game had a lot to do with it. They were like, oh, we can hang with the Patriots at Gillette without Aaron, and he came back and they won it all.
And that's and so this is a separate topic I don't really want to get into too much, but like, this is something I would like to see the NFL fix, or wish that they had over the last few years. It's a shame that this is only the second time that we're getting Brady versus Rodgers. It's a shame also that we only got Patriots Seahawks during the, you know, Seahawks Legion of Boom run three times, because all three of those games were absolutely phenomenal. It's a shame right now that we're not getting Patriots Rams. You know, we got it a couple of years ago when Goff was first drafted, and
yeah,
still
he came here. He looked like a bust.
Yeah, he looked completely like a bust. And they had dopey Jeff Fisher as their coach. That was, you know, an easy win on the schedule. But if you had Patriots Rams now, okay, you get a better gauge of where this team is really at. I just wish they could fix that in terms of scheduling, that, you know, the best get the best, so that we have more of these matchups. I don't understand. And we opened up the show talking about this. If you're just joining us, it's like, you know, with all the talk this week of Brady Rodgers, you know, we do get into the who's the greatest quarterback of this generation, and still so many of you want to put Manning it too. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about the stats. I don't. Save that for you nerds. Just use your eyes and your gut. And it has to do about Peyton Manning in the playoffs, because the bad pick was always coming at the worst possible time.
At least that's the way you felt. And you know, again, that reputation.
You can't quantify feel.
Yeah,
I
you
know.
Can't quantify feel. But the one thing, it's funny, so I went and looked at it, right? And Manning had to win that last Super Bowl to have a winning playoff record. And it was 14-13. So 27 games there. Seven of those games were multi-pick games. Multi-pick games. So that's like 26%. But then I went and looked at Brady's thing. Right, and Brady's 27-10. He has 9 multi-pick games. So again, it goes to what we just talked. There's just this feeling, right? This feeling that you have. It's Brady coming up big on those drives when you need to. It's, you know, the comeback from 28-3 in Super Bowl 51. It's that type of stuff. And Manning doesn't really have those moments. And what sticks with you more are the moments where you feel like he cost his team the game. And the other thing with Manning is that, you know, early in Brady's career, I don't think he had, you know, he had good weapons, you know, guys like Troy Brown, David Patton, obviously. But these were not the elite players in the league. The way Indy built their team, they spent all their money on offense. They're like, we're going to do everything we can to make sure this guy succeeds. We'll spend on the offensive line. We'll spend on Edgerrin James. We're going to have Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. We're going to have Dallas Clark. They put him in a position where he had everything to succeed, and it still was such a challenge for him.
Frank the Tank, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Frank.
Hi. You know, I wish I had the kind of FU money that everybody in this world wants, because I would pay to fly Mike from Woburn first class around the country so he could tear Peyton Manning a new ass all over the place. That guy is the single greatest caller that this part of the country has ever heard from. I swear to God, I love that dude. The thing that bothers me about payment, now, he was a great quarterback. We can't take that away from him. He was, if he had played here, we probably would have loved him, okay? I mean, we would have killed him on a weekly basis, but we would have loved the guy, okay?
And Murray would have done a killer impression.
Oh, my God, yeah. And, you know, it's just, when it came down to when you had to have it, he didn't. And his brother, who is, you know, the Jason Voorhees of playoff football, you just couldn't kill the kid. When the chips were on the table, he rose, and his brother more often than not failed. And it just the ball washing that Peyton got during his career from the media and from whatever. And some of it was deserved, but my God, like he, some of those two championship runs, I mean, how much was he really responsible for any of that? And it's just, he's not better than Breeze. He's not better than Rodgers. I think he's better than Roethlisberger, but yeah, he was great, but yeah, he's the Dan Marino to Montana, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's another good analogy as well. I do like, Frank, the thought of putting a GoFundMe together so that we can send Mike from Woburn around like the Billy Graham of Peyton Manning, you know, just to preach in Indianapolis and Denver and New York. The bottom line is Peyton Manning had an all-time D carrying him. Denver in 2015, 2006 with the Colts. He was going to disappoint you in the playoffs, everybody. Just send him around. Like, I'm into that.
Yeah, I would definitely enjoy it. Here's the other thing with Peyton Manning, though. You mentioned, you know, the media thing, and you played that Tracy Porter pick, and you could just hear the resignation and disappointment in the voices of Nance and Sims, you know, when he throws that pick six.
So that was what also made it easier to root against the guy, was the consistent undercarriage washing by the national media of Peyton Manning. Like, that got to be
But I'll tell you why that happened, because and I had a couple of interactions with Manning times I got sent to Indianapolis. He could not have been a more accommodating, nicer guy. And if you want to talk about somebody who was, you know, great with self-deprecating humor, and even now the commercials he's in and all that stuff, plays into it. I mean, he's a super likable guy.
Yep.
And I think that plays into – so the people who are sort of standing for him and saying – I do think that's part of it that plays into it. I mean, you watch him on Saturday Night Live. You watch him in all, you know, Cut That Meat. If you've ever had any sort of interaction with the guy personally, he comes off like a really relatable
Affable.
Sort of guy. The type of guy that you actually – root for if he's not going against your team.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are sort of reluctant to slam him on the playoff record.
RJ in Northbridge on this topic. Go ahead, RJ.
Well, you guys nailed it. Gasper actually just took my thunder. You know, Peyton had all these weapons around him, and you look at, you know, the eyeball test. Did he ever make anyone that much better than their talent? Like Rodgers does, like Brady does. I mean, I would even go so far as to say Marino was better than Manning, because he lifted people up around him when he had nothing. He made people something. He didn't have these Hall of Famers like Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. I don't understand how, you know, when you look at a most valuable player, are they making people better around them than their talent or not? And that's what I would say.
I mean, he had some stiffs that he, you know.
Brandon Stokely,
Austin Colley.
I mean, Pierre Garçon's not a stiff, but I mean, I don't think people were like, oh my God, Pierre Garçon.
He made him a household name because
he
was throwing a lot.
Yeah, he had some guys that he, and you know, really, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker didn't really take off until he got, how about Julius Thomas? Has anybody heard from that guy?
Yeah, that's a guy that got a massive contract since
he played with Peyton Manning. So, I mean, he had, you know. In the regular season, he elevated lots of people in the regular season.
All right, what's going on with Rob Gronkowski? He had sort of a subdued press conference this week. The numbers are down. He did next to nothing in Buffalo. One touchdown this year, and that's way back in week one against the Houston Texans. So we'll touch on Gronk as we get ready for Patriots and Packers tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
What is your view of the inability to connect consistently with Rob over the last 5 or 6 weeks? I mean, his numbers are down. It's a little different for us to watch because you guys have had such a great connection over the years.
I don't know. I don't think we played our best offensively over the last, you know, 8 games. So I'd say we got to all figure out, whether it's me and Rob or me and Josh or me and Jules or everyone, I think we're just trying to work at it every week. But we're 6-2. I think we realize our best football is ahead of us. We work hard at it, and that's what our goal is.
NFL Network's Mike Giardi asking Tom Brady at his press conference yesterday, what's up with you and Rob Gronkowski, or really, what's up with Gronk? It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So Gronk has averaged the fewest yards per game since his rookie season 8 years ago, 2010, on pace to record just 2 touchdowns and hasn't caught a score since week one, Chris. Receptions down. He looks like a shell of himself. So why has this season been different for Rob Gronkowski? What's going on with the player? Is it just he's too banged up, or he's getting double covered? He don't look like Gronk at the very least. I know that.
No, I mean, he doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't look like he's healthy. Number one, we know there's the back and the ankle injuries, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's something, you know, that's worse than that, that's going on, that maybe something's being couched. He doesn't have the same explosiveness. And look, you know, I was a big critic and doubter, and I was sort of derisive when it came to Mike Lombardi, because I feel like a lot of times he's just sort of a mouthpiece for Belichick. But he was right early in the year when he said, you know, he's having a difficult time separating. He doesn't look like the same guy. And you see that. You definitely see that. It is strange, though. I'll say this. You know, I looked this up last night. You know they've targeted him twice in the red zone this year?
Yeah, it's insane.
Twice.
Jimmy Stewart brought it up the other day on Felgram Mass. We had to, like, look it up to double check, because it was, you know, apparently written about in the Herald, too, like, because it just doesn't make any sense.
And he has no catches in the red zone.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Last year he had 22 targets in the red zone, which was, like, the sixth most in the NFL. So, you know, there's part of me that looks at – I mean, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist here, Gronk obviously sided with Brady in the whole Brady-Belichick conflict here.
Right.
And they gave him the incentives in the contract the second year in a row. You know, is there an element of – I don't want to say he's being phased out, because that doesn't make sense. But, you know, is there an element where if they can go elsewhere with the ball or elsewhere with the play design in the red zone, they'll do it. They'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to flesh some of this stuff out on the air the other day on Felger and Maz, but, like, why would that make sense in terms of Brady not looking his way if, you know, there's that division there between, you know, Team Tom and Team Belichick?
But is it Brady, or is it here's the play call? And, you know, who's the primary option on this? You know, are there plays where Gronk's, you know, sort of a decoy, or they know that he's going to get, you know, a specific coverage and it's going to take you? Because, I mean, if Tom is nothing else, he's dutiful. So if he knows, like, okay, we run this play, this is what their defense is going to be, this is where the read should take me, that's where he's going to go most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, unless he gets in that got to have it situation, sort of like Kansas City, and he's like, forget this, I'm just going to Gronk.
So Tom's just a company man, eh?
Well, I think he's going to make the right play. I mean, yeah. It's the whole thing's strange. And I think here's my larger point, though, is, look, it would be an issue, you know, Gronk's numbers are down, it would be a little bit of a story. But the reason it's such a big story during a 5-game winning streak is the way his contract is structured. Because now we're halfway through the year, and he's not on track to get any of the incentives other than the 80% play time. And he's at 80.25% right now. So those other incentives, and he can only get 3 of the 4. It's capped at 3 out of 4. But there's 4 of them that can earn him 1.1. He has 4 chances to get to 3, right? It's the 80% play time, it's the receiving yards, it's touchdowns, it's catches. He's not on track for any of that stuff at this point in the year, and we're halfway through it. I mean, we're halfway through it, and he's not there.
Yeah, you made this analogy yesterday on Felger Madness, because I hadn't really thought of it this way. Like, I figured, okay, he's bummed because, well, Gronk doesn't get ball, or he's bummed because he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it as the equivalent of, you know, us looking at radio ratings and saying, like, oh, that's what we got in that demo? Ugh.
We're not going to get our bonus. Yeah.
Boo! Yeah, so maybe Gronk is looking at his, you know, his incentive sheet each week and realizes, oh, I'm not going to reach these things at all. I'm not going to hit these incentives. I'm not going to get that money. Oh, boo, sad Gronk. So I hadn't really thought of it that way. He is human like the rest of us, so maybe that's why subdued at his press conference earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are, you know, he needs 70 catches. You know, right now he's at 29 catches. He needs 1,085 receiving yards. Right now he's at 448. He needs 9 touchdowns. Right now he's at 1. Doesn't mean he can't get it. But it's an uphill battle. And the other thing I go back to with Gronk, too, is you remember what he said in the offseason about football? And he said, you know, football's fun when you're healthy. Well, it doesn't seem like he's healthy right now. Yeah. It doesn't seem like he's as productive as he's been in the past, and he's not getting the incentives. So if those were things that were happening to me, I probably would be a little sad, too. And on top of it, now he has to answer the questions all the time. And they're legitimate questions. The questions should be asked. There's nothing wrong with the media asking those questions. Gronk and the Patriots made it an issue when they had set up the contract the way they did. But if that's the situation, I'm not healthy, I'm not getting the ball, I'm not getting my money, and every week I'm being asked about it, and we're in the middle of a 5-game winning streak, and if I explain what's going on here in my mind, which is, hey, they're not giving me the ball, then I look like a terrible teammate. If I don't say anything, then it looks like, you know, it's physical decline, which is on me. Like, that's a no-win situation for him.
So now 8 weeks in, is it fair to revisit the question, was Belichick right to try to trade him before
yeah,
the season?
Yeah, it is. It is fair. It's a fair, you know, was Bill seeing, as he so often has, was he seeing the decline before the rest of us?
I mean, he has sold high before,
yeah.
You know, and gotten rid of a player, you know, a little bit early
Wes
before
Welker.
It's too late. Richard Seymour being yep. another one. So, look, I was fully Team Tom and continue to be so. Like, you had to bring him back to keep Tom happy because he yeah. threatened retirement. I believe that 100%. But I think it is fair to revisit it now, 8 weeks in, that Gronk looks like a complete shell of himself. The numbers are – they're jarring how low that they are. Again, two targets in the red zone that Brady's looking more to throw to Cordarrelle Patterson in the red zone than he is Rob Gronkowski. It just – it doesn't make
any
sense.
But again, so I'm going to say, like, so, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, I believe – his last receiving touchdown, wasn't that like a wide – it was a wide receiver screen from like the one.
Right.
So that's a play call.
Right.
That's a play call
there.
That's
a good point.
I mean, you could throw a slant to Gronk. You could throw a fade to Gronk. Or you could throw this wide receiver screen to Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, if it works, it works. A touchdown's a touchdown, but –
All right. Well, we have to pause this conversation. We'll talk more about Gronk in the 1 o'clock hour, it being noon and a Saturday. That means one thing. It's time to talk Celtics on the Sports Hub Celtics show. We're going to do that right after the Sports Hub headlines here as we welcome in Tim McCone to the program. And then we'll talk about the C's and this big win over the previously unbeaten Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday night. Right after this here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.